This is 1988 Tops, where every card has a story to tell. Your hosts are David McKellis and Matt Kuzma. Let's play ball.
Welcome back to 1988 Tops. David, what's our card for this week?
Our card this week is Mark Chardy. Mark Chardy, card number 417, pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Okay, Mark Chardy. And normally, David, I would ask you why we're talking about Mark Chardy today, but I saw on Twitter why. We have perhaps the most fun fact in the history of the show.
We also have objectively the most handsome man. This is a handsome looking dude, Mark Chardy. And he had perhaps the best fun fact and the shortest career of anyone that we've talked about. Matt, we've only got 6 pages of notes here.
Whoa.
That's more pages than games Mark Chardy played in the major leagues. He played 4 major league baseball games.
Well, buckle up, folks. This is going to be a fast one.
Mark Chardy had an incredibly successful career in another field, filmmaking. So we will get into that later on. He had a couple post-baseball careers, but only 4 Major League Baseball games.
It sounds like a perfect spring break episode. So let's go to the front of 417, and we have Mark Chardy for the Brewers. He's got a fresh Brewers hat on. He looks like Rob Lowe, like 100%. He could definitely be a stand-in or stunt double for Rob Lowe. He's even got, with this Brewers top, he's even got it pulled a little bit to the side so you can see a little bit extra collarbone. I don't want to make this episode too explicit, but, you know, if you were going to be a baseball player and you wanted to dress slutty, I think that Mark Chardy has pulled it off.
Yeah, showing a little bit of skin.
Oh,
this
yeah.
This is a chiseled man. He has a very nice chiseled jawbone. This is an objectively handsome man, and that would pay Mark dividends. After his baseball career, it's a little bit of a blue steel look here. Like, won't go too much into the Zoolander jokes. I don't know if Mark got into any gasoline fights.
Let's go to the back of 417, where we have Mark Chardy, 6'1", 180, right-handed thrower and batter, drafted by the Brewers in the 15th round of 1983, born August 19th, 1961, in New Brunswick, New Jersey. With a home in Piscataway, New Jersey.
Raised in Piscataway Township, about 40 miles from New York City, Piscataway Township was settled in 1666 by Quakers and Baptists who were fleeing from a Puritan colony in New Hampshire. Piscataway is a derivative of the Lenni Lenape word for great deer, but it is believed to have been named for the settlers' former home on the Piscataqua River in New Hampshire. And that river runs on the border of Maine and New Hampshire, and the name is a combination of 2 words, pesky with tegue, pesky meaning branch, and tegue meaning a river with a strong current, possibly tidal. So this is a strong branch of a river. Some American Revolutionary history took place in Piscataway. The Battle of Quibbleton took place there in 1777. I don't recall that from my history books. That also sounds like something from Harry Potter. And at one point, General George Washington had a headquarters in Piscataway. When Mark was born, there were around 20,000 people in Piscataway, now up to 60,000. Mark played Little League and Babe Ruth League for Piscataway. It's hard to say over and over again. In 1976, the Piscataway team went all the way to the finals of the Eastern Regional of the Babe Ruth League. Mark won all 8 games that he started for that team. And there's a plaque with his face and accomplishments on it at the Little League field that he played on as a kid. He was All-State at Piscataway Township High School, and that gives us our fun fact.
Yes, that's right. The fun fact is that Mark was a member of the 1979 Piscataway High School Ski Club.
We have to thank at 1992 Pirates for bringing this to our attention. And they sent a tweet from at Sport Card Backs. That's baseball card backs. They just show interesting pictures of baseball card backs. And Sport Card Backs said, they granted permission for anyone to use 1979 Piscataway High School Ski Club as their fantasy baseball team name. My team is still Steve Balboni's fan club, and I refuse to change it. But this 1979 High School Ski Club is a great name.
Just a point of order, are there mountains in New Jersey that I don't know about?
I looked this up. We'll put a link in the show notes if people are interested in skiing in New Jersey. Visit nj.org has a list of skiing sites. There are mountains in northern New Jersey, but I definitely did not think of New Jersey as ski country. We didn't have a ski club at my high school. Also, living in Illinois, there's not a lot of places to ski, Matt.
Yeah,
in Wichita, Kansas.
Did not have a ski club. Nope.
This definitely sounds like something that's very 80s movie, like the rich kids from the school with the ski club. And then there's definitely a ski movie to be made about this. Mark was an all-state pitcher in high school, and he had scholarship offers, and he decided to go to the University of Maryland, where he majored in business administration. In 1982, he had a pretty good year, went 6-2 with a 4.46 ERA, and Brewers scouts noticed him. They picked him in the 27th round with the 694th pick in the draft. He did not sign, decided to go back to school, finish up his degree.
In 1983, he went 5-3 with a 4.11 ERA and a whip of only 1.35. The Brewers that year decided to take Mark a little bit higher in the draft, and we have a This Way to the Clubhouse that Mark signed as a 15th round draft selection with the Milwaukee Brewers, June 11th, 1983, by scout Walter Yaus.
Walter Yaus was born and raised in Baltimore, and he was called the Babe Ruth of amateur baseball. He coached amateur ball in Maryland from 1956 until 2001. His teams produced players like Al Kaline and Reggie Jackson. His 1967 team, of 18 players on that team, 15 ended up going pro. One of those teams that Walter coached is owned by the Leone family, and that team is now known as Yaus's Maryland Orioles. So he has a team that is now named for him. They play in the Cal Ripken Collegiate League. Yaus scouted for the Orioles from 1957 to 74, the Angels for a couple years, and then the Brewers from 1978 on. And he was the scouting supervisor for the Brewers. He passed away in 2002 at the age of 88. So his connection and stature in Maryland probably allowed him to connect with Mark and sign him when he drafted him for the Brewers.
So Mark went to rookie ball at Paintsville, which is the first line in this card. His teammates there included Glenn Braggs, Chris Bosio, Dan Plesac, and a guy named Jim Morris. We'll come back to that name later. His record that first year was 7-2 with a 3.23 ERA, whip of just 1.1, struck out 80 batters in 69 innings, so a very good first season. He said his fastball would sometimes hit the low 90s, but it was mostly in the upper 80s, and he had a good changeup and slider. He moved up to A-ball at Beloit the next season and pitched well, 10-7, 3.02 ERA, striking out 166 in 176 innings, with the whip still low, 1.142. In 1985, he's still at A-ball, but this is high A at Stockton, and his season looked much like 1984, 10-6 record, still striking out about one batter per inning and keeping runners off base. And that got him moved up to AA El Paso for the rest of the season. He was great. 10 games, 2.66 ERA, 8-1 record.
Boom, boom, boom. Station to station. And now we're up to 1986. He spends the whole year at AAA Vancouver. He was solid, but he wasn't quite as effective as at the lower levels. He had a 4.06 ERA in 168 innings. His strikeouts were down, and he was allowing a few more base runners. And 1987 comes along, and Mark and the Brewers, they're both going to have a big year. Mark starts out with the 1987 Chippendales calendar.
Yeah, there's a link here in the show notes that I'm a little bit afraid to click.
You can't tell. I think one of the...
yep, one of these guys might be... One of these guys might be Mark Chardy. It's hard to tell.
This is for sale somewhere. There was a point this week where I said, I guess I'm going to Google Mark Chardy Chippendales.
I thought you were going to say, I guess I'm going to have to buy this calendar.
This is probably priceless. It does say models include all of these great names: Wes Strassbaugh, Gary Sylvia, Mark Chardy, Ben Hurst. Not a lot of Mark Chardys out there. This is it's definitely him. Presumably he auditioned against Chris Farley for this role.
Yes. Another link that I'm excited to click is the Chippendales episode of Saturday Night Live featuring Patrick Swayze and Chris Farley auditioning to be Chippendales dancers.
Adrian, Barney, listen, before we start, I just want to say once again that either one of you would make a fine addition to the Chippendale family.
Epic performance. RIP to both of these incredible performers. So Mark made the big league team out of spring training and was given the number 34, which is now retired, not for Mark Chardy, but for Raleigh Fingers.
There is an article, and this article actually said something about the Chippendales, I think, from brewcrewball.com that talks about the numerical history of the number 34. Basically, everybody other than Raleigh Fingers didn't do much for the Brewers. But this 1987 Brewers team was known as Team Streak, and the Brewers started 1987 13-0. That 13-0 run included the Juan Nieves no-hitter. Mark came in for his big league debut in Game 3. In that game, starter Mike Birkbeck gave up some runs, so it's 4-0 with one out in the second. They're playing the Red Sox. Brewers go to the pen, Mark Chardy comes in, and he gets to face Bill Buckner, gets him to fly out, and then future Hall of Famer Jim Rice grounds out. But unfortunately, Mark gave up 5 earned runs in 4 innings. He leaves the game down 11-6, but the Brewers come back to win 12-11. So that winning streak could have been over really quickly, but the Brewers had a never-say-die attitude that year. Mark then gets his first start at Baltimore, and having pitched at Maryland, this was like a homecoming for Mark. He gave up 3 runs in 5 innings, but the Brewers put up 7, and he got his first major league win, which would turn out to be his only major league win. The very next day, Juan Nieves no-hit the O's to put the Brewers at 9-0.
Mark was next up in the rotation April 21st against the White Sox at Comiskey. At that point, the Brewers' streak was 13 games in a row, tied with 1982 Atlanta for the best winning streak to start a season. Mark only lasted 2 1/3 innings. He gave up 5 runs on 7 hits, including a home run to Donnie Hill. The Brewers couldn't overcome that deficit and lost 7-1. Sadly, Mark's start was the end of the streak. He pitched next on April 28th and gave up 4 runs in 5 innings, and was sent down to the minors with the line that we end up seeing on this card, a 1-1 record, 9.37 ERA. And for players with 15 or more innings pitched in 1987, that was the third worst ERA. And he spent the rest of the season in Denver.
Triple A at Denver, a rough place to go for a pitcher, especially if you need some confidence. Mark thought that he was going to get a call back to the big leagues, but that chance just didn't come in 1987. He ends up finishing the year 7-5 with a 5.61 ERA. In 1988, he's back at Denver, but he only appeared in 8 games, putting up a 6.63 ERA. He was shut down with a shoulder injury. He needed surgery and decided to step away from the game.
So closing the book on Mark Chardy, 4 games played in the major leagues, a 1-1 record, 9.37 ERA, 8 strikeout in his 16 1/3 innings pitched. How about in retirement?
He was 26 years old, and Mark already had that Chippendales money rolling in. He had a place in Los Angeles, and in the off season, he was looking for a job. He said he was trying to get the highest paying, least amount of work possible. We've all been there.
Yes.
Unfortunately, when I went to my Chippendales tryout, they told me I had a face for podcasting. Mark went to a modeling agency, and he was a model in Europe for 7 years. He did some commercials, he took some acting classes, and then 10 years after his baseball retirement, he decided to get into the movie business. He took his money from modeling, and he and a partner, Gordon Gray, started a production company called Mayhem Pictures in a garage. That production company had a first look agreement with Disney. And Mark was in a doctor's office reading Sports Illustrated one day when inspiration struck him for the first movie that that production company should get involved in. And he's reading the Sports Illustrated article, and in it, it says, Jim Morris is the most improbable story to hit the Durham Bulls since Nuke LaLoosh. Less than 3 months ago, Morris was a 35-year-old physics and chemistry teacher in Reagan County High in Brownwood, Texas. Today, he's a few good innings from making the show. This pitcher, Jim Morris, had promised his high school players that if they won their league title, he would try out for a major league team. So Mark's into the story. He says it seems like a good movie. And then he gets a little bit further in the article where it says that Jim Morris was a first-round draft pick of the Milwaukee Brewers in 1983. And Mark thinks, that Jimmy Morris? He had totally lost touch with his friend. They played together at three stops in the minors and even roomed together during spring training. He didn't put it together that his friend from 20 years prior was now a high school teacher. And Jim Morris, that's a kind of common name. But before Morris even made it back to the big leagues, Chardy had made the pitch to Disney. And he reaches out to Morris's agent. The agent knew from the time Morris was in the minors that this could be a movie. This is tailor-made for Hollywood. And Chardy would watch the box scores, and when Morris finally made it into a major league game, he said, we've got to get this. So Morris comes to town to play the Angels, and his story is in the news. Chardy thought that he had the inside track because he knew about this early, but by the time Morris comes to Hollywood, everybody knows about it. The last meeting of the day that he has is with Disney and his old friend, Mark is in the parking lot and they run into each other for the first time in over a decade. And he says, we just started laughing. I gave him a big hug and we looked at each other like, what the bleep is happening here? Disney, as they do, the mouse has some money, made an aggressive offer. And Morris said that he was pretty much sold before he walked out of the office. That movie about Jim's life, The Rookie, starred Dennis Quaid. It made $80 million on a $22 million budget. And this was Mark Chardy's first film as a producer, and it was a hit. Mark also had a small role in the film, and he would go on to produce some more heartwarming sports films like Miracle, Invincible, The Game Plan, also The Tooth Fairy starring The Rock, Secretariat, and Million Dollar Arm. And then in 2014, he started his own production company. The first film for that production company was a step away from sports. It was Chappaquiddick about Teddy Kennedy. Mark moved back to sports with The Way Back, starring Ben Affleck, and American Underdog, the Kurt Warner biopic. And he currently lives in California with his wife and two sons.
That is fascinating. That is a turn I did not expect. This is a card that just looked like a pretty face and a four-day-long career. But now that we've looked into a little bit more, what do we think?
This is a strange one. Four games. Mark got a baseball card for 1988 based on those four games, and then he was out of baseball this same year of this baseball card. But rather than rest, he turned right around and went into modeling. I know that he joked and said that it wasn't a lot of work, but that is a lot of work. You have to keep yourself in shape. There is a hustle there. Then Mark used whatever connections he had to get into the movie business, and that first movie that he made was that old baseball connection that helped launch his film career and made him and his old friend Jim a bunch of money. And he clearly has an eye for a feel-good sports story. He did a football version of The Rookie and with Invincible with Mark Wahlberg, and he also branched out into international stories, traveling to India for Million Dollar Arm, about the effort to bring Indian cricketers to play in MLB. And Mark has had one of the most successful post-playing careers of anybody that we've covered, especially for somebody outside of baseball. We've covered guys who went into management and coaching, but this is a guy who stepped totally away and has been incredibly successful, sort of like Dwayne Bice.
Yeah, same kind of success story. I also would have wondered Why the Topps Corporation would have included Mark Chardy in the 1988 set, given that he only played in four games and was in AAA the rest of the season and wasn't much of a prospect. But then you look at those mesmerizing eyes, and I think we know exactly what happened here. Well, thank you, David, for that. Thank you for reintroducing us to the Saturday Night Live Chippendales skit. And thank you to you at home. Our eyes are up here, okay? We're on Twitter at Topps1988. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next week.